So you may be seated. Father, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning by your word, Father, that will never be the same, because your word does not return void. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, last week I was speaking on the eagle. How many know I was talking about, are you looking up or are you looking down? I remember that. And I said, you know, a lot of the, and right away you think I need to be looking up. But in reality, if we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we need to be looking down at our situation. Amen? It's all about perspective. It's about where you see yourself positionally. All right? And so just a quick review on last week's message, that God has called us to soar like the eagles. He talks about in Exodus chapter 19 how he bore the children of Israel on eagle's wings and delivered them from the Egyptians. How many remember that? So if we understand that when we talk about the eagle, we're talking about the supernatural ability of God. So every time we see the word eagle, it's talking about a supernatural perspective. Amen? And so God delivered the children of Israel on eagle's wings. And God has called us to soar like eagles. All right? Number one, eagles have awesome eyesight. I touched on this last Sunday. Eagles have awesome eyesight. And we have, if you have 20/20 vision, they have four times 20/20 vision. So they can see four times better than a human. They're able to see a rabbit from a mile away and just zoom in and get it. They have great perspective. Eagles can fly directly towards the sun because they have two sets of eyelashes or eyelids, and they shut one, which is kind of like a sunglass visor. And when they feel threatened, they just go directly into the sun, and nothing can follow them because it'll burn their retinas out. But the eagle can do it. And I was talking last week about when we fall and when we stumble, we have to come boldly into the throne room of grace to obtain mercy in time of need, because the enemy wants you to be discouraged. The enemy wants you to be full of shame and fear, and wants you to turn and walk away from God. But the Bible says that we're to be like eagles, and we're to go directly to the source, amen, the sun. And the thing about going towards the sun, any enemy of yours cannot follow you. No demon in hell can go into the presence of God, so that's a safe place to go, isn't it? So they fly directly to the sun. And then eagles set their nest in high places. And the reason why they do that is because they are always waiting for the wind. Because birds do a lot of flapping. A lot of excess energy is used up in trying to get from point A to point B. But eagles set their nests on a very high perch. So when they feel the wind, when they feel the draft or the current of air that moves up at that altitude, they just launch off from their perch and they jump into the jet stream. They spread their wings and they just soar with the jet stream. So they don't have to work very hard. And I talked about last week, if we're eagle Christians and we set our perch, our abiding place in the heavenlies, in the high places, when God is number one in our life and we set him in a high place in our life, not our sports, not our entertainment, not our cars, not whatever it is, that there's nothing wrong with those things, but they have to be in the right priority. If God is at the top, if we set our abiding place in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, when we launch off, we'll be able to soar over the circumstances of life. And I talked about how a lot of Christians are like flapping birds. They're working really hard, amen, to get from point A to B. Trying really hard to get over a temptation. Working really hard to you know, gain another level in God. And God is saying, you don't need to do that. You just have to wait for my spirit. And you have to soar. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I hear the Father say. So Jesus was an eagle, and when he heard the Father speak, he just spread his wings, and he allowed the current of air to drive him to new places. Isn't that good? And I believe as a church and as a people of God, we're able to soar our wings, open our wings, and let the current of God's Spirit take us. I mean, there's been places and times in my life coming up and growing in the Lord where it was like, I used to struggle with nicotine and smoking. Suddenly I had no interest in it. I used to struggle with temper and swearing and stuff. And all of a sudden I lost. It just went somewhere. I didn't have to strive to overcome these things because I just opened my wings and I spread. Because somebody told me that if I would learn to set my my perch in a high place, if I were to dwell in the abiding presence of God, then I would catch the wind of the Spirit and I would let the wind do the work. Amen? Say this with me. I'm going to let the wind do the work. And if you're not willing to do that, then you might as well join a religion, because relationship with Christ is an empowerment of grace to overcome obstacles. Amen? God is good. Say with me, I'm going to wait for the wind. You know, we got to set our perch in high places. Amen? In Job chapter 39, verse 27, it says, does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides. On the crag of the rock and the stronghold, from there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. And I talked about when you're seated in heavenly places with Christ, when you have that paradigm shift in your mind and you begin to see yourself seated in a place of authority in the third heaven, above the second heaven was where all the demons and principalities were, you're able to look down and see the attack of the enemy before it comes. Amen? How many have been in a place where you're just going about your day and all of a sudden there's this urge that comes over you, I got to pray. And you start praying in the Spirit, and you might have a sense that it's for one of your kids, or a sense that it's for, you know, somebody you know. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have had that experience? That's because you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Amen? Last week I talked about, you know, how we get to that place. I said, well, we're already there. In fact, God said he raised us up together and he made us, that means forced us, to sit down with Christ in heavenly places. So if you believe that you're not there, you're self-deceived, because God made you sit there. The enemy's got you thinking you're here when God's really put you here. Amen? How many remember the illustrations I gave last week to bring that into light? So God wants us to spy out and see what's going on in our life, because he's called us to live in the realm, in the high realms, where the wind current of God's Spirit dwells. Isn't that good? In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 to 4, I'm going to turn there. I'm going to start actually in verse 1, because this is really good. This is actually a song of Moses. Moses is singing a song. His lyrics, he's not the best lyric writer. If you read them, it's kind of like, really? How do you put tune to that? But I'm sure it sounded good. Anyway, here's the song. Moses spoke in the hearing of the assembly of Israel the words of the song until they were ended. And here it is. Give ear, O heaven, and I speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Okay? Let my teaching drop as the rain. Okay? My speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on tender herbs. Now, I want to show you something here. In Psalms chapter 72, verse 6. I don't know if I gave you that scripture, but if you can get it in there, that's fine. If not, they can follow me. Here, Psalm 72, verse 6, it says, okay, now remember what he said here, let my teachings drop as the rain. This is what Moses is saying. When you hear of rain dropping, you're thinking of refreshing, right? When there's a parched land, when there's dryness, when the rain comes, it brings refreshing, it brings revitalization, amen? How many know on those hot days when the rain comes, it's like, oh, I just want to go lay in the rain? Because some of you felt that way last couple days. Because the rain brings refreshing, right? And so he says, let my teachings drop as the rain. I want to say this, anointed teaching under the unction of the Holy Spirit is like rain coming on a parched land. Amen? And we need the Spirit's moving in his presence, but we also need the word. You know, I remember when I was at the Toronto Airport Church, when the renewal first broke out. I mean, poor Pastor John and Carol, I mean, they didn't even know how to handle it. I mean, there was a lot moving on, so I'm not criticizing. But the first year, it was just people came from all over the world to just get a dip in the river, okay? And it was a heal, and it was a great move of God. But I was there in the beginning, and after about 6 months, I was enjoying the presence of God, but I felt dry inside. It's like I needed some teaching because they were so busy ministering the love of Father to people, which is good and what God called them to do, so I'm not criticizing. But at the very beginning, they didn't have time to really dig in and teach. And I got really hungry, and I felt the presence of God, but I felt dry. So I said to my friends, let's go across to this church over here. There's a preacher who's preaching the word. It was Deeper Life Ministries at the time, and it was Pat Francis' ministry. We went, and I sat under the teaching of the Word of God, and I left feeling refreshed. Amen? And it was at that moment that God showed me we need to marry the tangible presence of God with the teaching of the Word of God, because the two together are powerful and bring you to a place of, you know, fulfillment in God. Amen? And then after a few years here at Toronto, they found a way of bringing in the Word. Okay? Amen? Would you agree with me? They brought in the Word of God so that there was a mixture, a blend of the two. So it was beautiful. So all I'm saying is that there's been times, some of you know what I'm talking about. We went to Sweden. We were away there for 3 weeks, and we couldn't go to church because we're busy visiting all these people. And I came back, and I'm a pastor, and I came back after 3 weeks going, I just want to sit under the Word of God. Because sometimes you just leave church and you just feel refreshed. You feel like there was a weight on your shoulders and now it's gone. Why is that? Well, Moses is saying here, my teaching drops like rain. Amen? And Psalms chapter 76 or 72 verse 6 says this. This is beautiful. This is talking about the Messiah. It says, throughout all generations, say all generations. Okay? He shall come down like the rain. Who is he? Jesus. Upon the grass before the mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish in the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation where Jesus, the Bible says, if you lift up Jesus, he will draw all men unto him. When you lift up the name of Jesus Christ, it's like a refreshing rain. When you talk about Jesus, refreshing rain comes to people's souls. Amen? And look what, we'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. So he says, let my teaching drop as the rain, okay? My speech, this is really good. My speech distill as the dew. The word distill actually means to fall or to materialize in drops or moisture. To fall or materialize in drops of moisture. There's another verse I want to look at here in Isaiah. We'll flip over to Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, says the Lord. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. Amen? And so I find this amazing because Jesus talked to the Pharisees. He says, you read Moses, but you don't even realize that Moses was talking all about me. It was all through the word. You don't even see it, right? So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Did I lose anybody yet? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. Moses says, let my teachings drop as rain, my speech to materialize in drops of moisture as the dew, as raindrops on tender herbs, and as showers on the grass. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3. For I proclaim, all right, the name of the Lord, Jesus. He didn't use the name Jesus, but he was talking about the Lord. And I ascribe greatness to our God. When we proclaim the name of the Lord, when we ascribe greatness to our God, it brings refreshing like rain to the souls of men and women and children. Amen? Now let's look what it says here. Okay, for he is the rock, okay? His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Amen? And so back in the Old Testament even, Moses realized that when he preached and talked about the goodness of the Lord and declared the Lord's name, it was almost as if the rain would come and refreshing would come to the lives of people. How many know what I'm talking about? Even after I preach, sometimes I go home, I feel real good. I just listen to myself preach, amen? Because it's anointed. The word of God shall not return void. That's why it's so important we declare the word. That's why when a few, I haven't done it every week, because some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Why are we doing this? With the announcements or the offering, declaring, you know, why we're giving and declaring that we're not in fear, but we're in faith. Because our words, if they're the words of God, have power and will not return void. Amen? So that's why we're doing it. All right? So let's go down to verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. For the Lord's portion is his people, okay? For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is a place of his inheritance, okay? He found, I'm going to put the word me in there. He found me in a desert land. He found me in a wasteland. He found me in a howling wilderness, which means there's a lot of wolves, because I don't know any other creature that really howls, really. There's a lot of wolves in the world. How many know what I'm talking about? Deceivers and people that are out for themselves. He found me in that place. All right? But what did he do? He encircled me. He instructed me and he kept me as the apple of his eye. I want to say this. When you came to Christ, it's because you were in a dry place. You were in a desert place. You were in a place. You think about the place that God took you to. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's this giant eagle that is encircling you. And he's got his 20 times 4 eye on you because you're the apple of his eye. And he says, I want you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to raise you up on eagle's wings. Amen. And that's why it's dangerous to forget our testimony. Amen. So let's move on here. Verse 11. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings, and takes them up, carrying them on the wings, so the Lord alone led us. And there was no foreign God with him. He was the one true God for us. And I'm putting us in there. I want to make it personal, okay? And he made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him to draw honey from a rock and oil from the flinty rock, okay? So what I want to talk about here this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. It says that the eagle stirs up its nest, okay, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings and takes us up, carrying us up on eagle's wings. Does that sound pretty good to you guys? Doesn't that sound good? Well, let me tell you what that entitles, because people don't realize. Some of you do. I'm going to read you a little story here. There's a woman by the name of Hillary Price, and I've taken her story and I've changed it a little bit. But this is what she said. God wants to raise us so when it comes time to let us go, we will have been nurtured and prepared to soar on the wings of the Holy Spirit. The eagle starts off as a very scrawny, bug-eyed little creature and grows up. The wing muscles have to develop, and they don't instinctively know how to fly. They have to be taught, and they learn by watching its parents soar in the sky and sees them swooping down for food and bringing the food home. So eagles watching from the nest. Eagles find their prey, which is always fresh meat, and they place it in the nest a little distance from their baby. So the little eaglet strengthens its legs to get the food and then learns how to tear off little bite-sized pieces. As the baby eats, remarkable, the mother sits on the edge of the nest and flaps her wings, so the baby copies the mother and flaps the wings while she's eating. Does not sound like our life, reading the Bible in our devotion time. And how many of you're reading your Bible and you just sense a piece of God come in the room? How many know what I'm talking about? And you can't explain it. It's a personal relationship. It's your relationship. But there's kind of like God's here. And it's like he's there just doing this with his wings, and you can feel the presence of God. So you begin to do that too. You just begin to flap your wings. You start praying a little louder. You begin, hallelujah, you're excited, amen, because you're beginning to feel God. How many know what I'm talking about? And you're reading about this stuff, and you're learning, and you're getting excited, all right? So the baby copies the mother, flaps its wings while eating. The mother hovers above the nest and creates a downdraft, which lifts the chick off its feet, and amazingly, it finds itself flying for a moment in the nest, but then drops back down. It's adventurous, and it's fun. And that's where most Christians, that's the farthest they ever get. God's up there flapping around the nest, and we lift our wings up, and we go, woo! We're like, yeah, the presence of God is in the house, man! And then pff, back in the nest, I'm safe here. I just stay in my little nest. Amen? That's as far as most of us get. But how many know God wants us to go farther? Right? And so the baby hardly realizes it's flown, but from the moment it's born, the mother is teaching it to be independent. And that's what the father is doing. He wants us to be independent. Amen? We're all craving that time. It's kind of like God was just like Abba Father. And he's always Abba Father. So please don't downplay that. He'll always be my Abba. But it's like, I just want God to take care of me. And God is saying, I want you to grow up. And I want you to take care of yourself, and I'll empower you to bring others into relationship with God. Amen? So the love is the same, the intimacy is the same, but the relationship is different. How many know your relationship with your parents are different when you're 40 than when you're, you know, 4? You know, it's not cute if they're changing your diaper at 40. It's just not cute. All right? So there's a change in the relationship, okay? So the mother is teaching the baby to be independent. The little eaglet has cracked its own way into the world, is strengthening its legs, tearing its own meat, testing its wings, and the mother is hovering. Then for long stretches of time, the mother will leave her baby alone. And each baby and child needs to have time in a place where the mother is not there. And sometimes you feel like, God has abandoned me. Where's God? How many know what I'm talking about? And he's leaving you alone. Why? Because he wants you to begin to explore for yourself. Amen? He wants us to be dependent, but he also wants us to be independent. It's a strange thing, but that's how it works. Now look what it says here. All right? So she leaves her baby alone. Every baby and child needs to have time where the mother is not. Parenting is not only holding on so tightly to your children for as long as you can, but about gradually letting them go so they'll be able to fly on their own. Letting go is against our instinct. All we want to do is protect our children, but there is this amazing thing that eagles do to teach their babies to fly, is to simply stop feeding them. I'm going to say that again. Stop feeding them. The baby sits in its nest and sees mom and dad soaring in the air with dinner in their mouth. But dinner flies by and circles around while the baby screams, feed me, feed me, feed me. But they don't get fed. Not only do they not get fed, but the mother makes the nest as an uncomfortable place to dwell in. She stirs it up, gets rid of all the warm feathers that she's plucked off her own chest to line the nest. All the grass goes, the soft hay, all the toys that the apparent eagle brings back. Everything goes, no food, no comfort, no toys, and the baby is on its way out. Amen? God did the same thing with the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 32, 11. And I'll read it again. As an eagle stirs up the nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on the wings. So the Lord has done that. And so God will do that in our life. We don't like this kind of preaching. But how many know it's the truth? There will be seasons where God's going to say, I want you to learn to fly. And it's kind of be like, you're going to be like, feed me, God. And God's going to know, feed yourself. Open the Bible. Some of you will come to church for a period of time, and I'll be preaching, and it won't mean nothing to you. And you're going to be saying, God, feed me. The pastor's words used to tickle my ears, and now I feel dry. God is saying, feed yourself. Open the Bible and get serious. Amen. And so that's going to happen. All right? So they stop feeding him. Now here. So the baby eagle watches its parents fly until the moment the nest is no longer comfortable And the unthinkable thing happens, and this is this, the mother pushes the baby out of the nest. And panicking, it starts to hurtle towards the ground, seemingly plummeting to its death. But the parents have been hovering above and swoop down, catching the baby on its wings just before it hits the ground. How many have been there? They do it over and over. And so then the baby's on the eagle's wings, and the mama's going up, and the baby's like, thank you, mommy, you saved me. Bring me back to my nest. And the eagle comes over to the nest and then goes, oh, we're going to go up another 300 feet. And baby's just like freaking out now. And then mother does this sideways thing and like this, and baby falls off and does, ah, like this. And mommy swoops down again, catches the baby just before it hits the ground. Isn't that an exciting life? Like, forget Canada's Wonderland. That must be the ultimate rush. So after what happens is they bring the baby up so high, they drop it, that the mother and father come down, and they open their wings, and they soar around so the baby can see what they're doing. And eventually the baby figures out, oh, I'll try that, and opens their wings, and they catch the draft, and they begin to fly. Amen? So I always say this, is that God's word will teach us. There's two ways to learn. God loves you so much, he's going to make sure you learn and grow. Amen? So I've always been taught this. I believe it. I teach it. There's two ways to grow. You either get in the Bible yourself and you begin to study it and say, God, teach me. That way, there's very little trials. You know, you just kind of, you learn by the Spirit and the Word. That's a good way to learn. How many would agree? But if you're stubborn and you don't want to learn by the Word, God will push you out of the nest. And you'll be like, my life's falling apart, my business is falling apart, what's happening, my friends, oh my goodness, my kids are gone. And God will use whatever he can to get you in faith. So which way do you want to go? Do you want to go the kick out of the nest way, or do you want to go through the word? Amen? But you know what? There's a time this pattern is repeated over and over again until the baby eagle realizes the wind is holding it up. And I can fly. And you know, we're going to go through situations in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to fly. I want to be able to soar on my own. I want to be able to walk as a joint heir with Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, you're no longer my servants, you are my friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. You're my friend, so I'm going to talk to you like a friend. I'm not going to talk down to you like you're a little child anymore, because you have grown in the Lord and you're going to soar like an eagle. How many want to have a relationship with God where he just comes in and talks to you like a friend and says, hey, listen, I need you to do this for me today, and here's the power to do it, and you just go and do it. Amen? Where you're not always like that little baby eagle going, oh, God, please help me. God, please, I need you to, you know, speak to me. And it's kind of like this. God wants us to grow. And some of you might be at that place where you're just like feeling like a baby eagle. And that's okay, because we're all at different levels. But the key is God is taking us somewhere. Amen? He wants us to soar as joint heirs with him. Is this good? Amen. God is good. So when you realize this, you see that God took Egypt, he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he delivered them by the supernatural power of God on eagle's wings, but then they didn't want to learn to fly, so they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And I don't want to spend 40 years, I'm already 42, so that's pretty scary. I don't want to spend any more time in the wilderness, amen? I'm soaring with the Spirit. I've made up my mind. This is the direction I'm going to say, God, you're going to kick me out of the nest if you have to, but I'm going to learn to soar. And you know what? There's going to be times where you're going to be uncomfortable, where God's going to require you to do something that is silly. And you're going to think, I'm afraid. But God always challenges us to step out of the boat. Amen? Amen. That's what faith is. Came to Abraham, said, Abraham, leave your father, leave the family business, leave everything. And take your wife and just go to another land. And, well, where do you want me to go, God? I'm not telling you. Just go. Like, that requires faith. Amen? So God has called us to live that way. So, why is this eagle message so important? In Psalms chapter 103, verse 5, it says, he satisfies our mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? We need our youth renewed. We need our spiritual youth renewed like the eagles. Amen? We need to be restored. We need to be refreshed. And that goes into like the molting process of the ego, which we'll probably get into next week because I don't have time today. But we need to be refreshed. We need to be restored. So he basically, for renewal, to receive the good things of God, we need to be like an eagle. Number two, for end time protection of the church. In Revelations 12, verse 14, it says this: "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent." So there's a persecution that's coming on the church in the end days, and only those who soar in the Holy Spirit, that know the voice of God, will be preserved from the persecution because we've decided to set our perch in high places. My wife's aunt, Aunt Elena, she's a missionary, and she was in Uganda. How many remember the massacre in Uganda? They did the movie Hotel Rwanda. Did it say Uganda? Rwanda. Rwanda, yeah. There was a massive, and she was in her hut or whatever, and she was laying there sleeping, and she heard the voice of the Lord say, "Get out, lie in the grass," and it was almost like loud. She got up, she ran out, laid in the grass, and when she did, they came in with machetes and killed everybody in the village. If you set your perch in the place where in the high places with God, you're able to see the attack of the enemy before it comes. Amen. And so God wants us to set our perch in a high place in the realms of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys want a few more? Are you good? One or two do. Does anybody find it hot in here? Is it okay? Okay. Maybe it's the fire of God. I don't know. Job chapter 29. All right, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to close. Because, you know, Job was someone, and I love it because in the Old Testament, he was one guy who soared like an eagle. When I hear the word soaring like an eagle, I think of living in the realm of the anointing of God, all right? And, you know, the enemy came before the Lord and said, "Here's this guy, and he's only serving you because you've given him all these good things and everything." And God says, "Okay, I'm going to withdraw my hedge of protection and you can come in." Now, we could spend a lot of time on that. We'll do it another time. But what Job does here in verse 29 is he's beginning to talk about where he was at before he fell, the enemy came to attack him. I want you to see this. Chapter 29, Job further continued his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the day when God watched over me." God watches over us when we're in the presence of God. "When his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through the darkness." Amen. You can be in a very dark place, and God's light will lead you through that darkness. All right? "Just as it was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent or over my home." When you're living like an eagle Christian, it's like the friendly counsel of God is over you continually. Isn't that good? "When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with butter." That's called Easy Street. Life is good. Everything he did. How many know if you had butter on your feet, it'd be kind of fun on this floor. You just slide around, and it's just like there's no resistance to life. He said it was like when the favor, the anointing of God, when I was an eagle soaring in the realm of the Spirit, everything I did was Easy Street. It was like my feet were bathed with cream or with butter. And it says here, "And the rock poured out rivers of oil for me." Now, we know when we talk about oil, we talk about the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus Christ is the rock, and oil would come from the Messiah. Oil would pour out over Job constantly, rivers of oil. It's like the anointing was just pouring on him all the time. I mean, this guy sounds pretty good. All right? When I went to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid. The age arose and stood. Princes refrained from talking. I said, I'm not even going to talk in this guy's presence because he has so much wisdom, it'll make me look dumb. How many know when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and they came with questions, he would shut them down because the wisdom of God was in him. He had the fullness of the Spirit. How would you like to be in a place that when you got around people, they were like, I don't even know if I want to talk because this guy's just got so much wisdom. All right? The princes refrained from talking. They put their hands on their mouths. The voice of the nobles were hushed. Their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth because when you're nervous, you get a dry mouth. I remember when I used to first start preaching, I'd get nervous and my tongue would stick to the top of my mouth and I'd need water all the time because, you know what I mean? The voice of the nobles were hushed, the tongue stuck in the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me, because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless one who had no helper. And he talks about all the awesome things he did. But let's go down to verse 21. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again. Like, it's like, hey, if Job said it, it's the truth. How many would like to be in a place where you have such a reputation that people just, they don't, God's with that man, God's with that woman, I'm going to settle on that. People knew that God was with Job, is what I'm saying. Old Testament saint, and my speech settled on them as the dew. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was on his words, and it came on them like dew. They waited for me as for the rain. And when I opened, they opened their mouths wide as for spring rain. He would walk in and begin to talk to them, and the presence of God would come over them. And they'd just be like, wow. How many, that's what we were talking about with Moses. How many remember? We just talked about that. The dew, the presence of God, from the word that's spoken. Amen? They opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. Here's a good one. If I mocked them, they didn't believe it. I go over to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're a loser. And Chris would be like, oh, yeah, sure. You don't mean that. You couldn't mean that because I know you. You never let words come out of your mouth that degrade other people. That's a joke. Ha, ha, ha. They didn't even get upset with him because they knew that he probably tried it. He probably tried mocking people and they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. That's not Job. Do you see that? This guy soared as an eagle as an Old Testament saint. I love this. Okay? And the light of my countenance, verse 24, they did not cast down. I chose the way for them, and I sat as chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners. I'm telling you, this is a picture of an Old Testament saint. We're the New Testament church with the Holy Spirit indwelling in us as born again believers. We got to soar like eagles. We got to walk in this place. We got to aim to live and abide in the presence of God so that we can soar and have victory. Amen. Is that good? All right. I'm just going to close with one verse, and then we'll Deuteronomy chapter 32 again, back down to verse 13. He made him ride in the heights of the earth that we might eat the produce of the fields. He made, and say me, draw honey from the rock. So I want you to picture this here. You've got these large cliffs in this part of the world here. And there's no way that you can get up there. And there's beehives in the cracks of the rock. The only people that can get up that high, the only ones are going to be the bees and some birds, obviously. But you're an eagle. There's certain things in God that you can't have at this level. Amen? You want the sweet things of God, you got to soar in the realm of the Spirit. You got to be a Christian that is, I'm going to go in the jet stream. I'm going to go to those places. There's honey, there's sweetness there. And then here's another one. So he made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. Now, I had to research because I thought, what in the world? Why would you be eating oil out of a rock? How does that happen? So again, you'd have all these cliffs and you'd have certain olive trees that grow best out of rocks, believe it or not, rocky soil. So out of the top of these, on these cliff faces, you'd see these olive trees come out. Nobody can touch these olive, this anointing oil is in the high places, and you're able to get at it because you're soaring with as an eagle. You go up and you can land on this little branch and you can eat this virgin olive oil that no one else has ever had. It's a realm of the Holy Spirit that you can have. Why? Because you soar in the realm of the Spirit. Isn't that good? So he's going to cause you to have that oil. He's going to cause you to have that honey. But it's in a high place. You can't get it by flapping. You have to soar. You can't get it on this plane, on this realm. You have to live in a realm of prayer, in a realm of communion with God. Amen? And so this whole series really to do one thing. It's to encourage you and say that you already, God says he's already made you sit in that place, and now you need to spend time with him and say, Lord, help me to soar in that place. Show me how to launch off. Show me how to touch base with where you're going in my prayer life so that I can begin to receive all that you have for me. Amen. I'm tired of flapping. I'm tired of all this excess work. I want to soar with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen.